believe you are God and in control.
Welcome to the Worship Generation Radio Ministry with Pastor Joey Brand, a ministry of Worship Generation Church located in Fountain Valley, California. For more information, please visit us at www.worshipgeneration.com.
We believe in the power of the gospel. We believe you can transform every soul. We believe you're the Savior.
Now let's join Pastor Joey as we study through the Bible.
Let the nations be glad, all his saints rejoice, and let the
and let the comfort flow from us to others. That's what we want to do. That's who we want to be. Brian Jameson once said to me, as we had served here for 5 years before we went and planted the church in Orange, he said, Joey, you know, that Vermont was only 14 months of your life is absolutely amazing to me because 90% of the stuff we talk about in ministry, you reference Vermont. Yeah. I was comforted, I learned so much, and I let God use it for good to minister. And that's just how it works. So as we look at these opening seven verses, Paul just so went to it. He talked about his affliction and their affliction being for other people's benefit, right? Your consolation, your salvation, verse 6. And he said, our hope for you is that you will do the same. You will be partakers of suffering. You will also know the consolation. And you see, I can know the consolation in my life for what I've been through, but I want you to know the consolation through the things of your life that you've been through. When Pancho Juarez was sharing a couple of weeks ago at that pastor's breakfast in Downey, this guy is just like, everything he's saying here has so much authority, and it's comforting me and encouraging me for my life right now. Yeah. You see, he's known that comfort in his world, in his life, and he's passing it on to younger pastors. In my case, I would be younger than Pancho, that I might know it in mine and pass it on to you. We want to encourage people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be, when we're partakers of sufferings, that we are also partakers of the consolation. Because to not be partakers of the consolation is to miss all the good that could be accomplished in time, space and matter for all eternity. It's a serious subject because it's reality. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. That's modern Turkey that he's referring to in this context. That we were burdened beyond measure above strength so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks be made given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. So he says, hey, we were burdened beyond measure above strength so that we despaired even of life. This is the verse for when you're overwhelmed. When you're just trucked or steamrolled. This is the verse. Take comfort. Paul the Apostle with the healing handkerchief. Paul the Apostle could come back from the dead in a sense when he was as good as dead there outside the city of Derby. Paul the Apostle, this great man of God, one of the most brilliant intellects in the history of humanity, certainly on record as the Holy Spirit consumed him and led him in writing the epistles that he wrote in the New Testament. This amazing man who killed Christians as a persecutor of the faith, and a completely broken man having received Christ. This amazing man who changed the world as much or any person apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this man who changed the world and influenced the world, and the Christian worldview is expounded to us in more in the epistles of Paul the Apostle expanding on the life and ministry of Jesus Christ than any other readings you could ever read. Of course, they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, that shape our world and most of the benefits of our society to this day that we have. That this man could say in the fullness of his ministry that he despaired of even life. You know, we all have dark times. How about John the Baptist? Oh, he's so bold. He was so bold. John the Baptist is so bold. It's like, the Lamb of God, it takes away the sins of the world. This is the Son of God. Oh, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I mean, he was so bold. Like, he was so bold. Like, he sent those guys back to Jerusalem with their tassels, you know, folded up and packed up and shipped out. Like, he did. And even Herod the Tetrarch, oh my goodness. Herod the Tetrarch was terrified of John the Baptist. And Herod the Tetrarch's wife, of course, hated John the Baptist because he's like, you were married to his brother, now you're married to him. Like, he just, you know, John the Baptist didn't have a politically correct filter. You know, that's a sure bet, right? I sometimes like, well, did he have to call out Herodias or did he just felt like he needed to, I don't know, but he did. And this man with great boldness and great courage that he could send messengers to Jesus and say, are you the one or do we look for another? Are you the one or do we look for another? There are dark places that we can go sometimes that can be very dark. It would seem the higher you soar, the deeper you can dip in the human experience with the Lord. Charles Spurgeon was well known for his deep bouts of depression that he battled through. And I don't doubt in some cases it's chemically based to some degree and maybe accentuated through spiritual attack as well. But I don't need to break down the science or the medical elements of it. Because the fact of the matter is we know there's spiritual battles and we know that our focus is on Jesus Christ, not the devil. And whatever problem we have, we take that to the Lord. And if the Lord's deliverance is not enough, there is no deliverance. And there's a purpose in not being delivered for a season, for a purpose, certainly for eternity, and quite possibly for time as well. We were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so we despaired even of life. Steve Mays, before he passed away a few years ago, the great Bible teacher from Calvary Chapel, South Bay. I've shared this a few times, but I was at a pastor's conference in the early 90s with my wife, Jennifer, at Big Calvary, when they used to get everybody in the sanctuary there back in the day, or early 90s. Actually, probably more like late 80s. And Steve got up, and he talked about being so depressed that he had a loaded gun to his head. And I was just completely like, I mean, I had the Harvest Book, you know, all the heroes. It's like, Steve, no. And I remember saying like, don't say that. Because of course I had attempted suicide, up in a straitjacket. You know, I'm like, hey, don't say that. Like, you're Steve Mays, man. Don't say that. Don't tell me that one of my heroes had a loaded gun to his head and get up at a pastor's conference and tell us that. But I must tell you, when I was in Vermont, I wrote him a thank you card. I told him thank you for sharing that. Because I'm so overwhelmed that there's times when I'm on the fifth floor of the Sheraton Hotel that I think I should just run right out that window and end it. And that's not a healthy thought. That's not a God-ordained thought. And having wrestled with those kind of thoughts in my younger days, I was just trucked the whole experience. My kids are waking up seeing demons screaming out loud. I'm scared to go in my basement because you can feel the oppression. So evil. Turn on all the lights, read my Bible out loud to go get my uniform to go to work at 5:30 in the morning when it's 10 degrees outside too. And it was just so overwhelming. And I can remember, I would have to, don't just get the cart, get the dirty dishes, get on the elevator. But the thought would be there, dude, just run right through that window. It's over. There's a way out. That's the way out. So listen, I don't know where Paul went in these dark places when he said that he was burdened beyond measure, above strength, so he despaired even of life. But despaired even of life is a very powerful term. And all I can say is that he would go on to say that, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So whatever tribulation comes our way, where we need the God of comfort, of all comfort, to comfort us, the God of mercy, whatever tribulation comes our way, he wants to show himself strong through the consolation in it, that he'll bring us through it. And even if we're burdened beyond measure, so that we despair even of life, that we despair even of life. Lord, I can't face another day. I cannot face another court case. I talked to someone last week about family court, a custody battle, and they just said, oh gosh, it's just the sickest place. It's the most darkest, evil place. And I have to go back there again, and it makes me so sick. To family court. And I'm like, gosh, you're making me sick talking about it. It sounds horrible. He goes, oh, you have no idea what it's like to be a parent, to walk into family court for a custody battle. I'm like, and this person said, I almost can't even, the very thought of having to go back there. But you know what? I have to, because it's a battle I have to fight in this case. We only need faith for today. Solamente necesitamos fe para este día. Sufficient. We only need faith for today. We only need faith for the next step. Sometimes it's the next step to get out of bed, to get dressed and go to work, to get up and pray. And God gives us what we need. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. So as dark as it was for Paul to despair beyond life, we can see him later on in the book of Acts calling out Agrippa, like Agrippa the second, like, hey, you know these things, they happen in your neighborhood. You're familiar with this. Well, yeah, just hang on there. You almost persuade me. You know, like, you know, we can have, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, all the great pitchers still get rocked sometime, right? So sometimes it's just the way it goes, you know, you just... You can't settle in the Slough of Despond. There's a reason John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress described a place called the Slough of Despond, because he went there. And it's easy to go there. But you got to get out of there one step at a time, one just faith for today. We need the faith for today. And we need to understand that as we trust in the Lord, he's going to refine us, and he's going to bring us to the place where we know not to trust in ourselves. You see, that's the good fruit of tribulation, that if we're looking for consolation only in time and justice only in time and only sense in time, we are despondent beyond measure. But if we can see beyond time, space, and matter to the kingdom, to the throne of God, to the throne of justice and the throne of love, we know that it will work out together for good. And we will understand we're being conformed to his image for all eternity, for we will reign with him as kings and priests in his kingdom. And then we can, in that moment of being despairing, beyond perplexed for life, we can trust in the Lord and learn not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ who raises the dead. That's what we learn in those deep, dark places. It's not about me and what I can do. It's about Christ, who he is, what he's done, and what he's desiring to do in and through me and in and through you in these situations. Sure, it's a bonus to minister to others with the God of all comfort and comfort them, but the end result is less of us, more of him, is preparing us for eternity, and it's better for everyone else around us in time, right? We love a broken woman and a broken man. There's a fragrance Paul's going to talk about in a couple chapters. There's a fragrance. You know, when Ben Corson gets up on a Saturday night or Friday night and he's like, hope and this and that. And all pumped, I'm going, this guy, as a kid, buried his sister. And as an adult, had his wife leave him not long ago. And to get up in front of 5,000 people and say that our hope is not despair, I'm like, I want to roll with Ben Corson all the time. This guy, I've seen a lot of people roll over and die in their whole life going through things he's been through. And he's in front of 5,000 people saying, we are not crushed. He had some pop on it too, right? Like Ben's got like this, he has this kick. I got pictures, he's like, he's got this kick. You know, I had the backstage view of it. I was like, yes, and amen, and yes. God bless you, Ben Corson. I'm going to follow him on Instagram right now. Right? Sounds silly, right? But I'm like, I need to follow Ben Corson. Like, he had a flip phone too. He's like, Like Ben, who has a flip phone, he's like, it's like, it's awesome. But all those people, 5,000 people, how many are suffering? How many have had someone love that they love leave them? How many of them have buried a sibling? You see what I'm saying? More of Christ, less of us. Because we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. See, there's the eternal perspective of how that works. And he said, and you're helping us together, praying for us. So of course, it helps that we pray for one another, right? When people are going through trials, I mean, we want to pray for them. I've been praying for Sarah Hill quite a bit the last few days because I can't get past it. During the weekend, though, when she was posting stuff, I was like going, this is so heavy. I just can't even, oh, God, help, you know? And, you know, the family that lost their son in the boating accident, Johnny's parents, back in Vero Beach, back in early December, I thought, what's Easter look like for them and the three sisters? I've just been praying for them and praying for them and praying for them. Yeah, so we're agreeing. We're praying them through this. Like, when I get up in the morning, I'm like, oh, I need to pray for Johnny's parents and his sisters today. I want to be with them. I want to come alongside them and agree with the God of all comfort who comforts us. I want to be there. I don't need any accolades. I don't need anything, man. But if that happened to me, I would want someone somewhere that would get up and pray for me daily. I just can't imagine facing Easter 4 months after burying your 16-year-old son from a boating accident. I just, all the marks, Easter, last day of school, his class's high school graduation. You see what I'm saying? Like, you just go through the list. His birthday. That first year has a certain pain, right? You know that pain. All those marks, all those holidays, and all those bench, those road marks. I was like, you know, no matter how down I am or how discouraged I am, I just like, I need to pray for his family. And now I have the image of his dad because his dad's the most well-known lawyer in Vero Beach. And there's the billboard on Highway 1 when you're headed north towards Sebastian Inlet. And Hannah goes, that's Johnny's dad right there. You can be the biggest man on campus and you lose your 16-year-old son, it changes everything. And in his life, it has for good. Because I told you his dad was teaching the Christian club the same week I was there in Vero. That's the God of all comfort, bringing you through it, giving you eternal perspective, and us coming alongside and agreeing with him. And a lot of you have prayed for Johnny's parents as well, right? You have. We're working together. We're all in this together. We're bearing one another. We're coming through this together, WG, whatever we face. Verse 12, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. For we are not writing any other things to you than you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I intended to come to you before, that I might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Now he would make this trip and go by them and receive the offering and all that. But notice what he says here. Our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we've conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. Man, that's it right there, isn't it, WG? Look at that. That we can conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. Can you think of any other priority that would supplant that one in your personal life? Simplicity? Look at that. Simplicity and godly sincerity. That means you're just driving down the road and you're not in a hurry. Simplicity. Less is more. Less is more. Just the simplicity of things that really matter and people you love, the opportunities God's given you, being faithful in those things. Simplicity and godly sincerity goes a long way to give you peace in your soul, clarity in your vision, and fruit for all eternity. Our world is so loud and so insincere in so many ways that when we conduct ourselves with simplicity and sincerity, it affirms the gospel, because that's exactly how our Lord Jesus fulfilled his ministries on this earth, simplicity and sincerity. He was transparent, and the people were drawn to him. It says the common people heard him gladly because he was Christ, the Son of God, and He's light and life, and him is no darkness at all. Verse 17, therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly, or the things I planned, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among us, among you, by us, by me, Salvinus, Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you is Christ, and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you I came no more to Corinth, not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. So understand what he's saying here as he's wrapping up this first chapter, that his planning to come visit them, there is some conflict and undergirding bits of lack of trust, right? And he's their founder, but there's these things undergirding currents, people speaking against him. And he said, now, have I done anything that's yes and no? In other words, he keeps his word. He's a man of integrity. Lady's a woman of integrity. He says, I don't say yes and then no and flip-flop. We learn this as parents, right? Our kids learned early on, get me to commit, I'm locked in, just to the mere principle that as a dad, I want to make sure I keep my word. So get dad when he's vulnerable, lock him into a big gift at Toys R Us, and you know it's going to come your way. So you get wiser as parents, right? You say, we'll see, maybe. But yes is yes. And ladies and gentlemen, if our yes isn't yes, then the very core of our very being is just completely discredited from top to bottom. Our yes is yes, and our no is no in a good way. That we're consistent. And, you know, of course, Jesus taught this on the Sermon on the Mount. We don't need to swear by this or swear by that. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. That at work, in the community, in marriage, as parents, as leaders in ministry, and whatever roles, open doors God gives us, that when we say yes, we mean yes, and we do everything we can to follow through on it. And you do get wiser what you commit to, right? You can't be afraid to commit to things, but you just want to count the cost. So, all right. And so it's important that we don't plan things lightly, if you will. A man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps, right? We shouldn't say we'll do this and that, but if the Lord wills, we'll do this and that. That's what James says. So we want to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, let him direct our path, and then we go for it. But when we commit, and we follow through. Whatever that commitment is, we follow through, because God is faithful, and our word to others representing him has to be faithful as well. People need to see the faithfulness in our words when we represent Christ. Because all the promises of God, verse 20, are yes and amen. And that's how it's meant to be, you know, and there's no other way around it. So of all the things that we can prioritize for our character and our witness that confirms the gospel, being women of our word and men of our word is of the highest priority. And this last little thought that Paul says here, God's established us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God. That's how we want to be, established and anointed in the things that God has for us, sealed by the Spirit. But then he said in verse 24 that he's not trying to lord over anybody. He's trying to guide them and help them and lead them. We are fellow workers for your joy. We want to be fellow workers for joy. We don't want conflict, right? We want to be together. It's so cool to be at the amphitheater there and see John Wang and Mike Harris and Brian Broderson and just have just this great unity of faith, you know, just to be able to just like, yeah. And to see Phil Wickham, I haven't seen Phil Wickham in a long time, and just to give him a big hug and think back to 15 years ago when I was like his high school coach almost, you know? It's just, we never try to lower anybody. We never try to control. We're co-workers in faith together. And that's how it is. We want to build each other up in our journey. We want to encourage people. We're not trying to lord over anybody. We're trying to bless people. And if we have to say things that are difficult, then we need to say things that are difficult because we love people and we care about them. Prophecy is to what? You know, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. So let's be prophets and prophetesses, huh? And let's be those people. And be people who have been transformed by life's experiences for good and for the glory of Jesus Christ, to the benefit of humanity and time, and to our own soul for all eternity. That's the faith Jesus Christ desires in our lives.
You've been listening to the Worship Generation Radio Ministry with Pastor Joey Brand. If you would like more information about the ministry of Worship Generation, visit us online at www.worshipgeneration.com, where you can listen to the podcast of today's entire message. Worship Generation is located at 10350 Ellis Avenue in Fountain Valley, California. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And also follow Pastor Joey on Instagram under the tag name at Joey Brand. Thanks for listening and God bless.
Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed, not ashamed of the one I love. Not ashamed, not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed, not ashamed.